First of all, I want to thank the organizers for inviting me to this beautiful country. So my talk is on some topic I believe interests many people here, and I will try to express my opinion on this. So there are three things in the title: open string field theory, Taken condition, and closed strings, and I will go through it. And I should say that my personal interest to this subject was related to find the relation between first and third, and the Taken condensation would hopefully help us to understand it. So whatever I will be talking today mostly is based on my papers written recently, 3 months ago and 2 months ago, with Anton Gerasimov, and they're on the internet. I will start with introduction, where I just motivate things, and I go through the background independent open string field theories. This is a string field theory that I will be using to attack the question. Then I derive the exact Lagrangian in two derivative approximations. Then I will discuss any vacuum and how do I think closed strings are coming in the business. So as I said, first and third were my relation between closed and open strings was what I was mostly interested in. Let me point several things. So we know very well since 94, 95 that in closed strings, let's say type 2 strings, we can see open string modes on D-brains, which are solitons in the closed string theorem. So around after Jopolczynski's paper, around the years 97, probably many people got interested. At least I was very much thinking about how one can reverse this arrow. So reverse arrow means that can we find in open string theory, purely in open string theory, some solitons or something or new backgrounds which would correspond to closed strings. So I want to ask a question, can we reverse the arrow? Now matrix theory might have been a possibility, but there are problems with for higher dimensions, and also the closed string doesn't live in same, if the closed string which is described by matrix theory doesn't live in the same space-time as open string degrees of freedom there. So anyways, the kind of hypothetical situation could have been that we start with open strings, which works at D9 or D9 anti-D9, find D1 as a soliton there, go to the strong coupling limit and large N. That's why you need D9 anti-D9 in order to be able to do large N. Otherwise, there are 32 D9s only. So we go to large N and strong coupling, and we see the closed strings, second quantized closed string modes there. So question would be, where are these closed strings in the beginning present in the open string theories that we started from, in D9? Well, obviously, we see some closed strings here, and several T-dualization and so on. By the way, space-time for these closed strings and the space-time for open strings are the same space in this discussion. Okay, so in order to ask this question properly, we should start with open string field theory, which is really, honestly, background independent, find all new backgrounds, all backgrounds in this theory, and luckily, if we're lucky, one of them might correspond to closed strings. I emphasize that what I mean by all new backgrounds means that I'm not looking only on the particle spectrum of open strings. Now, the analogy might be for people who are interested in integrable models is a Sine-Gordon theory is described with one field phi. It has a particle spectrum, which are Breezers, and solitons, which are Turing fermions or whatever solitons, and are described both by one field theory of one scalar field. Anyway, so that's why let's go on with these ideas. In open bosonic string theory in 20th dimension or on D25 brain, we have a tachyon. Its theory is unstable, and the conjectures made by Sand could help us to answer this question I'm posing there. So let me break it to the three conjectures. One will be that the tachyon potential for on D25 brain or open string theory has this form, where F is universal function and has property that critical in critical point it's equal minus 1. So we have to, there is one critical point T equals 0, there is another one TC, and F of TC is equal minus 1. Second conjecture says that there are soliton configurations on tachyon field on DP brains which correspond to lower dimensional brains. And the third one would be that in the new critical point we have a vacuum where there are no open string states, it describes only closed string vacuum. Now I should note that it turns out after whatever research done in recent years that the first two were simpler than the third one. We will see that. So we need off-shelf formulation to ask all these questions. That's why we have to use some kind of string field theory, and what I've been using, will be in the beginning of 90s, I'd written defined kind of background event open string field theory, which I've been working also after that, and had some derivations there. So that's what I will be using, and the goal for me, at least personally, is that I want to better understand the background independent open string field theory, find different backgrounds, and maybe I can see the closed string somewhere. Okay, so I have to mention the work done, I mean, on this topic of the conjectures of Ashok-Sen, there are lots of work done, so I'm sorry, this is a huge number of papers written, and I want to emphasize that Minahan and Zwiebach have, I don't know how to say that, played with a model which turned out later on was describing exactly the theory, and Kutasov, Marinho, and Moore came up with very similar results what Gerasimov and I did, and Goshal and Sen. We have heard the talk by Goshal, this is it. If I miss some work, I really apologize. I mean, the subject is very popular, and there are many works and very important works done, so I tried my best. Yes, there is one paper which is actually important. This is which I want to mention is Enum group approach by Harvey Kutasov and Marciniak was very, very important. So let me go on with the stuff. So the definition, let's first define stuff here. So we have the action S of t, which is a functional on the space of boundary conditions for bosonic string on the disk with a critical point such that at t equal t star, we have conformal boundary conditions. Now, this is maybe a little bit vague definition, of course. So let's be more specific. Consider the map of the disk D to space-time. So we have X of ZZ bar, D maps to M. M is a maze of space-time. We can, in general, consider lots of different conformal field theories defined through this. But we will be concentrating on flat Minkowski space and construct the bosonic string just by defining the correlation function through the conformal field theory when the I-naught is number got action with BC ghosts there. Then the idea that Ed Witten had in his paper in 92 was that we can take the BRST operator in closed string and take the contour inside the disk, take BRST current, integrate over the contour, it squares to zero. Now we take the limit when contour approaches the boundary, we define operator Q through this closed string BRST current, and introduce the operators of the following types, which is nu times b minus 1 is a mod of the ghost b, and o is a sum arbitrary operator, again in the disk. Take this operator, nu, and perturb the worksheet theory with this operator, and now again contour takes the limit when contour approaches the boundary. So now everything is on the boundary only. Interaction is only boundary. And define the correlation function now with this action. So the simplest case, at least I considered in 93, was when the ghost decouple from the matter, and then the O is C times V, where V is constructed out of the matter only. Well, obviously, we can see that from this action, the boundary conditions, without the boundary term, were Neumann boundary conditions, normal derivative, because it's just a Laplace operator here, normal derivative is zero. But with this operator, we have correction, which is normal derivative of x is a derivative with respect to the x of sigma of this boundary term. And it looks like that the question is formulated. At least I give the space of boundary conditions. What is the worksheet weight that I will be weighting things also defined? Now comes the final definition. The function S on the space of boundary interactions is defined through its derivative ds, which is a two-point function computed with this worksheet action I defined on previous transparency of d of O, integral of O, times Q, that Q also was defined, integral of the O. Since d of integral of O is basically an arbitrary operator, all solutions of equations of motion ds equals zero should come from the second term in this correlator, because again, this is, I assume that the two-point function is not degenerate everywhere in the coupling space. So this should be equivalent to Q of integral of O equals zero, which we would say that this is the same as theory was deformed by marginal, exactly marginal operator, beta function equals zero. So this should be a string background, so the critical points of this section formally look to correspond to the critical conformal deformations of the Wolschitz theorem. So the question, first question I want to ask is, what is the space of deformations given by this whatever V of X of sigma I introduced, because it was too abstract maybe. So one can assume, and this is, I believe, is a restriction, and I will show at the end of this talk that it is actually a restriction, that V of X, which is, V of X is X of sigma is a map of the circle to the space-time. V of X is an arbitrary functional on the space of maps. So we assume that this arbitrary functional actually is a Taylor expansion in the derivatives of the map. The coefficients we call the fields, and these are the tachyon field will be T of X of sigma. Now this is a local functional of X of sigma, and this was not local functional. So T of is a local functional, A mu is a local functional, and so on, and this is a derivative expansion of the X mu of sigma. Okay, so this is an assumption and restriction, as I just said, and if we do that, then action will be the functional of these coefficients of the expansion, which I call T, A, mu, and so on. Now, the goal is to write S as an integral over the space-time, which means the constant mode of X of sigma. We write X of sigma as a sum of X plus phi, where integral of phi equals 0, so this is 0 mode of map X, and we want to write this section as kind of field theory in space-time, when the fields will be functions of space-time points X, which are zero modes for the X of sigma, and their derivatives, of course. Now, more generally, one can think this way, and this will helpful for me later on. So, D of O, if I take and parameterize the space of perturbation somehow with some parameters T, so my operators O are O of T, comma X, is some parameterization, of the O's, then D of O is just derivative, and DV then will be this derivative. And in linear approximation, the deformation I wrote in the previous transparency was that I take the number Gotō action plus TI integral of VI, where VI is the first derivative of the V of T computed at T equals 0. So the origin of my coordinate is T equals 0, it's just a linear term. Certainly, the normalization group will add the lots of terms here. That's why I started with some function of T of sigma, and the quantum field theory will determine what kind of function that actually was if we know its first derivative here. Okay, now, of course, the arbitrary perturbation will not be a normalizable field theory, but this is a very tricky question, since when V is very arbitrary, then counter terms will be also arbitrary. I had the arbitrary operator, arbitrary counter terms. It's very, very confusing and tricky question. But for tachyon and A, which is the lowest mode here, the theory is perturbatively normalizable, of course. So that's why I will maybe concentrate on those ones. I again emphasize that for the other ones, if I have if I don't define what I mean by arbitrary boundary operator, it's the question of normalizability is kind of strange. So what that means? Of course, they are irrelevant operators, but there are infinitely many of them, and almost all of them are present. Okay, so what is the form of the action? Would be the first question. And in this abstract coordinate parameterization, action has this form. Where beta is a beta function for the coupling TI, and Z is a partition function. This formula was derived in 93, and it has a property that its derivative with respect to coupling T has a zero, it's exactly the same place where theory is conformal, which means that it's proportional to beta function with some matrix GIJ, and this metric has to be non-degenerate. Otherwise, we will have an extra zeros, which cannot be interpreted as conformal field theories on the worksheet. So again, emphasize GIJ is an invertible matrix. Also, one has to say that the action has a property which was explained by Witten in one of his 92 papers, that on shell it's equal to Z. Ed had very general argument that the action has this type of form with some vector field, and I computed this vector field in the second order and turned out to be a beta function. Okay, so this last property is very important, that on solutions of equations of motion, they coincide. So first of all, it seems that the action is very formally background independent, since I have to compute the partition function and the beta function, and these are perturbative computations around some particular t's. Second of all, it seems like that it depends on the choice of the coordinates in the space of the boundary interactions, and this is what we call in string theory the Pilda definition, and every theory will have some kind of arbitrariness is there. And now the important comments are that if we ignore the contract terms, and I will explain in a second what I mean here, then it turns out that the equations of motion derived from the detection will be just linear equations of motion. So contact terms are important, and also I want to mention that the Ed have explained in 92 that zeros of the vector field in the previous formula shall be equations of motions and only. And this will then lead that the big problem that the equations of motion are linear. So the one has to take care of the contact terms, and where do they show up in the computation of the worksheet is like this. It looks like that the Q is constructed out of the BLST operator in the bulk, and it should be independent of the couplings because the perturbation is on the boundary. And also, total derivative should decouple. We don't expect any anomalies, but they don't. The Q actually depends on the coupling, and total derivatives don't decouple. And the way to fix up things very well is that since DS was a one-form, whatever choice contact terms we are going to make in the particular computations, D of DS should be zero. So this is very much fixing the structure of contact terms, because this gives the relation between the contact terms which are related to the total derivatives non-decoupling in the correlation functions to the T dependence of Q. So this way one can find that the vector field is what is written here, 1 minus delta I times Ti, plus Cijk, Tj, Tk, and so on, where delta I is an anomalous dimension of the operator correspond to the coupling Ti, and Cijk is a three-point function, and so on. Now, of course, in the theory where we have the divergences and the non-normalizable theories, there will be cutoff dependence everywhere, but the good news is that only relevant coefficients here are those which satisfy the resonant condition, and the resonant condition here would correspond to the just single poles in OPE. And the fact that the vector field can be reduced to the linear part of it by a change of coordinates is called the Poincaré-Dulac theorem. And only resonant terms, only those Cijks and so on, cannot be removed, which satisfy this condition. And as I said, this is a linear pole condition. Now, this means that the expansion of S of T in any computation we are doing in powers of T, coordinates should be chosen in such a way that corresponding metric Gij that I wrote before, the kind of Zamolodchikov boundary, Zamolodchikov metric, is non-degenerate, and then equation of motion are beta function equals zero, and we have to take care of that. And by definition, again, the critical points are conformal theories on the worksheet. Now let's start with the tachyon perturbations when I just put the tachyon on the boundary. And we want to find action S of T. Well, my approach here now, I will comment for a second why I will not be talking about other modes. Actually, it was pointed out to me by Kutasov here that from the cubic string field theory, the main kind of question was that the lots of modes condense, not only tachyon. And in this approach, it's obvious that only tachyon condenses. That's what they explained in their paper also. But I will show where it's important point here. Anyway, so that's why we will just assume that tachyon is enough, and I will comment on that. Okay, so now how do I continue? I want to find action S of T as a derivative expansion in D of T, but exactly in T. So that means we have to know all the entries in the previous formula, which needs beta function and partition function. So beta function, obviously, will be, its linear term is just the fact that it is a tachyon, which means 2 times Laplace T plus T equals 0 will be the tachyon equation. Tachyon has mass square minus a half. But this, of course, beta function will have a bunch of corrections here. Well, with some function of T, which is quadratic plus cubic and so on, but no linear term in A0, similarly A1, and I just wrote derivative expansion. I don't know any of this coefficient. In principle, of course, I can compute, but I don't need to. The partition function also will be the integral of the dx, whatever is written here. It's a derivative expansion again, and this is a universal form for it, and I'm going to plug it in this formula. Now, the claim is that just the fact, and this is for me very, very, very interesting fact, that just the fact that beta function equals zero is the equation of motion for S of T in lowest order in T, which means the linear order of T, is enough actually to determine all these coefficients that I even didn't bother to compute. So how does it go? The way you just plug it in that formula, write action in the two derivative approximations. You have arbitrary coefficients, arbitrary functions that you don't know. And from that action, compute beta function as an equation of motion and write its linear term. It should be 2 delta t plus higher order corrections equals 0. Turns out that this leads to the such Lagrangian. up to the field redefinitions, of course, which are allowed here only field redefinitions with two derivatives only, not more than two derivatives, any functions plus two derivatives. Beta function from this equation will be computed from the equations of, from this Lagrangian will be computed from equations of motion, and turns out to be the one I wrote before with a very particular coefficient in front of dt square term, and other terms being zero in this approximation, and the Zamolodchikov metric for open string version of Zamolodchikov metric is just exponential of minus t. And the partition function is exponential of integral of exponential of minus t. So this derives the action. As I said, this action was derived by authors I mentioned also. Now let me show that the potential corresponding to this action will have this form, and it does not have a local minimum. The critical point is at infinity, although it's finitely distance away from zero, but still it's essential singularity. Now let me show how can things can be computed, some computation which may be clear out things here, because there might be some confusion, and I have seen some in literature. I hope you can see that. So let's kernel H be written what it is, this infinite sum. Take the field X as sum of 0 mod plus phi, integral of phi equals 0, write a path integral for partition function with the action we get. Now, this is written in a way that all bound degrees of freedom are gone, only boundary quantum mechanics is left, the H is a non-local the operator. So then the Wolschitt action is this sum. Now, I take this sum and expand around a constant mod of X. That's what's written here. It's just T plus quadratic in phi plus cubic in phi, and very importantly, that quadratic term in phi, which is written here, is something we'll be interested in because it has two derivatives of t, and everything else, which is cubic, and so on, will have three derivatives of t, which we will be ignoring in this approximation. Now, notice that from the determinant, which we have in partition function, just ignoring d3t terms, we still have infinite number of derivatives when we compute the determinant. But we could not capture those terms that comes from d3t here. Okay. Now, one can use Ed Witten's computation from 92 when he studied the simplest case of quadratic interaction in order to compute this determinant and just simplify life a little bit. So this is something that you will get. In this, note that I singled out the zero mod. I did not integrate over zero mod of X, especially because I want to have kind of action at the end, which is an integral over the space-time coordinates X. And if you take and write the corresponding partition function from that formula as an expansion in derivatives, you will see that this B equals zero and beta function is linear from that computation. Well, that might look like a little bit contradicting what I showed you before from the kind of bootstrap type of approach, but here it was goes. So thus the action is equal to this, because there was general formula, I computed partition function, beta function, I have the action, and there is a difference between what I just showed you by factor of two here. Equations of motion are also given this way, and we see that equations of motion are not easily, we cannot easily see that it's the same as beta function, but we have to remember that equations of motion are metric times beta function, and since the beta function is written here in red, then everything else is a metric. Now, it is not obvious to me that this metric is an expansion of some non-degenerate metric in the derivatives, and that's why, as I said, the principle was to have the non-degenerate metric in this approximation times beta function. So that's why we would like to make a change of coordinates to such coordinates when the metric is obviously not degenerate. And such coordinates exist. We have to note very important things that beta function is a vector field. This beta function is vector field, its linear term does not change under any field redefinition. But Lagrangian itself, a quadratic term in Lagrangian, is not invariant under the field redefinition with two derivatives. This, this term will not be invariant under the field redefinition with two derivatives, but beta function, linear term of beta function, will be invariant since it's a vector field. So now we do this field redefinition, we are allowed only to do the two-derivative field redefinition, we redefine the fields in such a way that the Zamolodchikov metric is invertible, and we get same beta function as I wrote before, which was derived by general principles. And the partition function will be eta to minus t, and the action is the same. Now, what we achieved by this is that, first of all, we achieved that the tachyon at t equals 0 has a correct equations with a correct mass square, and then everywhere else is determined by whatever we get with exact computation. So that sets basically answer on the first question of Ashok Sen, of his first conjecture, that the stable vacuum now is at t equals infinity. We know the exact action up to two derivatives. By the way, I forgot to comment that if you would look on the computation for the path integral, which I was showing recently, it is obvious that for massive modes, every other mode you would add to the on the boundary, here, if I would add not only tachyon but other, let's suppose it's a massive mode, then in quadratic approximation I will have at least one derivative because other modes multiply dx. And when you pull out zero mode, only the derivative term will enter, which means that in tachyon potential you could not have the zero modes of those fields, and only tachyon condenses. That's what was commented in, was shown in the paper by Kutasomarini and Muros. That basically means that the situation is different than in cubic theory. Okay, so now in the variables, phi equals eta to minus t over 2, which I show here, the action has this form, and it has a logarithmic behavior. Kinetic term is canonical, and by the way, this is the periodic string action when the prime number p goes to 1. This is the same as the action known computed by people for periodic strings. Now, second question also has a pretty easy answer in this approach, since Dirichlet-Neumann boundary condition obviously is conformal. Since it's conformal, it obviously should be the critical points of the action I computed. And moreover, the value on the solution, so this is a soliton. Since this is a soliton, I want to look what is its action. Action is partition function on any critical point. But since action is partition function and this is Dibrain boundary condition, Polchinski already told me what are the tensions, so everything fits very nicely. And one can see in the quadratic profile that this can be achieved by arranging the coefficients 0 or infinity in different directions, or you can put the infinite electromagnetic field and achieve same boundary condition and so on. So there are many ways one can get Dirichlet-Neumann mixed boundary conditions or Dibrains, but always the action will be equal to the partition function for that particular conformal field theory, and we don't have any problems with showing that second conjecture of Sen is also correct. Now I want to add the gauge field and construct the same action, so I'm starting adding the fields. And the reason I want to do that, I want to attack the questions formulated in the third conjecture, which I consider most challenging and very interesting. So now we add the closed string modes here just for covariance, and I will explain what's the reason mainly for me. So this is action computed with the same principles I described before tachyon, but now tachyon plus gauge field in two derivative approximation. And ignore for a second the term for closed ring kinetic term, and the B field is added there just for to see how these guys are coupled to closed ring modes. Now, notice this is not the same as the potential, tachyon potential times the Born-Infeld action, since I chose the regularization which satisfied my criteria, and my criteria I liked more because of non-degeneracy of the analogical metric. But if you take this one and expand, you can find regularization, which second order, this will get same answer, but it will be different regularization. Okay, now I want to note that in the coordinates, phi equals eta to minus t over 2, this action is like this. And there is a direct analogy, basically identical Lagrangians we are having in the one complex color field coupled to the gauge field in any field theory. So what's written here is I take the complex color field phi and write it in terms of the angular variable and absolute value in gauge field A and wrote just the gauge away the phase. So this will be the Lagrangian. Now I want to notice the analogy between the different terms between these two actions. For example, take this one, everything else is kinetic terms, this one versus that one. So A is B, so in ordinary field theory, gauge field is replaced in string theory by B field. Scalar phase phi is replaced by gauge field, so the gauge field is like a phase variable in a Higgs phenomena. String theory, it's a gauge field, and the tachyon turns out to be absolute value of the Higgs field. Now, since the analogy is so striking here, one can start asking the questions. What is the vacuum when we have open, what we call the top of the potential open string vacuum? In open string vacuum, this guy, phi square, is equal to 1. So this guy is 1, which is same as h equals 1 here, which is the vacuum in the Higgs mechanism. and the A equals 0. A equals 0 will break the closed string transformation symmetry, and that's it. So the broken vacuum we have for phi equals 0, phi equals 1, and A equals 0. But there is another vacuum, as we just derived, which is phi equals 0, which corresponds to E equals to infinity. In this vacuum, this term is 0, and in Higgs mechanism, this term is 0. Well, it's not a big deal, the fact that the kinetic term has zero coefficient, because as I said, exactly in angular variables, the field phi, which is a face of the complex color, also has zero coefficient in front of it. Does it mean any problem? So there are two resolutions, of course, to the zero coefficient in front of the kinetic term for phi field, the phase. One is you go to Cartesian coordinates for the complex field phi, and there is no problem. This was just a singularity in the field space. Another one is make the gauge field A dynamical field, which means that now we are integrating over A and other fields. And then A will eat up the phi, and there is no degree of freedom at all. The angular variable phi doesn't make sense. There is no such degree of freedom in the vacuum H equals 0. So if we repeat same thing here, we came to conclusion that we have to either make the change to the Cartesian type of coordinates or make the B field dynamical. But we cannot change things to Cartesian coordinate because analog of absolute value is a scalar, which is phi. And the phase is a gauge field. It has a spin 1. So only choice we are left to make theory smooth in the new vacuum is to make its coupling to the background B field dynamical and make the field B as a quantum field. So this basically shows that all these degrees of freedom open string are not degrees of freedom anymore in new vacuum. But closed degrees of freedom are brought in order to make theory smooth. But there is a more strong statement, actually, that all degrees of freedom of open string are angular variables are not present there. Unfortunately, I don't have time to show you what are the relations with cubic Lagrangian and how closed string comes in business and so on. But if there are questions, I can try to answer. So I had two more transparencies to show. But this basically finalizes the conjecture number 3. All degrees of freedom of open string in a closed string vacuum, symmetric vacuum, are gauge parameters for closed string gauge transformation. And they disappear from the spectrum. Thank you very much.
Questions?
What's on the two slides you didn't show?
Excuse me?
What are the two slides?
It's difficult to see from here.
What are the two slides you did not show?
Okay. Well, it's just, I will just be very quick on that. I don't want to use someone else's time. Okay, so the first question would be, so I said that phi was the angular variable, gauge field was angular variable, and the symmetry gets restored in new vacuum, but I want to see that from the cubic action. And cubic action is psi cube psi plus psi cube, and I want to show you what is the psi. I claim that the psi cube term here is just partition function. How do I show that? It's like this. Take psi, I'm giving a change of variables. This is a little bit conjectural, but I believe it's true. Take psi to be pass integral on half of the disk, when on one side, which is the circle, half circle, I inserted the boundary operator. On the other side, I put free boundary condition x equals x of sigma. Then I have psi x of sigma parameterized in terms of the degrees of freedom I had during my talk. If I take a conformal map of the half of the disk to the 120 degrees, one third of pizza slice kind of thing, with some conformal map, and glue them three together to the round circle, this will be psi cube. And the other term, which is beta dz, will be reconstructed by psi cube psi when I just take half of the disk. Important question is that which is obviously clear now, that my assumption that tx of sigma plus a mu dx mu and so on was something I should have put as a space of boundary interactions is very restrictive and is not good in the new vacuums. There are non-local operators that I ignored. And another thing I wanted to say, how do we see the closed strings from this picture, is that if I have disk with some holes, and I fix the diffeomorphic symmetry on the worksheet and so on, and I watch how does it depend, let's say, on this boundary, then in the, t goes to infinity, the dependence is eta to minus length of that times t, so typical sizes of the disk which will contribute will be zero size boundary at t goes to infinity, means that the disk collapses to the sphere, and operator now is inserted in this point in the sphere. Since now we have a sphere, we have to remember that we have to put the Liouville field together with that, because this is off-shell operator inserted in the disk. If you go through this construction a little bit, you will see that everything now is written in the disk, in the sphere topology, and the whole action, minus beta dz plus z, collapses to the action which is written on the topology of the sphere. So I believe that that action doesn't have anything to do with open strings anymore, and purely is written in the in the sphere topology closed string degrees of freedom. Thank you very much. These were the transparencies.
Any other question?
Just a question. In your comments about the Born-Infeld form, in which you found out that, in fact, apparently not the full tachyon potential is in front of the kinetic gauge field, and you mentioned this is because you chose this regularization that you liked. When we later on analyzed the fluctuations of the gauge field, we found that precisely in that case, and not in the Born-Infeld one, in the lump, the gauge fluctuations had the right spacing. So is it just that you have a special insight to get this regularization scheme, or do they make a difference, or what?
You see, you have action which has infinite number of derivatives. It's some kind of action. Actually, string field theory, as you know very well, normally looks like some infrared type of theory, rather ultraviolet type. It has infinite number of derivatives. It's a real action. Then you have to make sure that the critical points is the same exactly as beta equals zero. These two equations, ds equals zero, beta equals zero, should be same equation. Okay? But the relation between them is through metric. Means that metric should be non-degenerate everywhere. So in the variables when it's Born-Infeld, that metric is degenerate. It does not, at least in this approximation derivatives. If I go to the other variables, the metric will be non-degenerate, for sure. Now, in the previous case, at Born-Infeld, it might have been non-degenerate either, but I had expansion of the something, exponential in power theories, and you can think that it degenerate in this approximation. But in the new variables, it's for sure non-degenerate. So I like those more. And for example, tachyon mass comes up right also, and so on. I mean, that kind of variables I like with the principle that my Zamolodchikov metric is absolutely not degenerate. So that's, I think that that's why there were some papers in literature that there is this only potential makes sense and kinetic term doesn't make sense and so on and so on. I don't think they are right, actually. There is a clear-cut statement what it is, and the you see, in these variables, for example, beta function has right three Verdian vertex. So everything comes right.
Any other question? Okay, let's thank the speaker once again. And of course, there will be an...